Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you remember this, Judith? Do you remember when we used to do this podcast? Do you remember?
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. How long have we had off? Have we had a 2 week break or just 1 week break? I can't remember.
Why do you know I lose track?
Christmas is just a blur. It's just a blur. I'm going to whisper this now.
What?
I'm glad it's over. Don't tell anyone.
We all are.
Is your tree down?
Oh, yesterday it was like a great big poo I had.
How is taking a Christmas tree down like a great big poo?
Because you kind of get the house back to normal.
The purge, exactly.
Okay.
The trimmings, all the bits, all the crap, all the
Did you then clean as well? Because my cleaner hasn't been for weeks. I haven't done anything.
What do you mean? Where's she? Why?
Well, that's just taken another week. Sorry, I've developed a cough. Hold on.
She's
taken another week off.
Oh, Jenny.
You can't quibble, can you? Because she's ever so good. I just go, that's fine. Have a lovely time. And also, we're living in our own muck. We're like pigs.
Well, anyway, I can imagine that. Now, my house, actually, by contrast, is sparkly Lakeland.
You've been on your hands and knees.
Yes, from time to time. I've done the shower. I've done the... It's all been done properly. Do you know what I mean? Properly. Why not? I've been vile. I was vile yesterday.
Who was around to get the vileness?
Well, you can imagine.
Just Mike.
Can you do that? Can you just go back over
Judith,
that? Well,
you can't do that. Well, let's rewind. Let's take our listeners through our Christmases without traumatising too many people. I have to say that throughout the festive period, we had a few tricky moments. But let's just start with dinner. How was your dinner, your Christmas dinner, Judith?
Dinner was suitably large and also
a second
portion.
Because you weren't allowed to cook, remember?
No, I was not. No,
you were demoted.
No, I was demoted.
They don't like your cooking anymore.
I was demoted, very much so. And do you know what? It was quite nice. It was quite nice. And I sort of had a glimpse of what it must be like to Christmas as a bloke. And it started to seep through, sort of away from cooking into other areas. And I could hear myself thinking occasionally, well, you know, they look fine. And no, I don't think I'll bother. I don't think I'll bother.
Christmas like me. Forget about Christmasing like a bloke. Christmas like a Claire. Cut your corners. I did do Christmas dinner. It was a small, it was a mini family do because we were all meeting up in Wales on Boxing Day or the day after, depending on weather and people being trapped in Scotland in gales and hurricanes and all this kind of thing. Oh, I can't tell you how difficult the travel plans have been. But anyway, we are rewinding to Christmas dinner.
Okay.
And there were just the six of us. There was only six of us. Right. Well, it was a school dinner. Let's face it.
But
mine was a sort of second rate. If you'd paid for it, if you were one of those people that had a proper job and had to put sort of 25 quid into a kitty, or maybe more these days, I don't know how.
I think more.
Do you think it might be?
Oh,
how much would you have paid for your Christmas dinner that arrived on your plate? How much would you have paid?
Well, we are both mean when it comes to eating out.
We don't like it. I like Five Guys and that's about it.
And I like Nando's.
Yeah, we both like Nando's. Yeah.
I could have tolerated 50 or 60. Could have just about tolerated.
Oh, my God.
For me.
How many courses does that include?
Three courses. It was nice canapes, big school dinner with seconds. I mean, okay, I'd have paid that for a good carvery. I wouldn't have wanted just a small plate. I'd have wanted a carvery so I could go back and...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cut and come again.
Absolutely. I'm much greedier than you
are. Or as my friend Kate Robbins always called it, being a buffet botherer. You bother the buffet. Just keep bothering it.
I do like a... Yeah, I think Kate and I would... Yeah, I like a buffet. I don't mind admitting it. I do like a buffet. And an all-you-can-eat buffet is very much my bag.
I would have been pissed off if I'd spent more than $17.99 on my Christmas
jelly,
dinner.
I didn't
quite make enough effort. Like, I didn't... you know when you say you had canapés? What did you have? What did they make for you?
We had blinis and Vaillère smoked salmon with that cheap lumpfish caviar and,
Word lumpfish. The word lumpfish. What's it called? Well, it's lumpfish roe, isn't it? It's one of the most off-putting. They need to rebrand that. Because
well,
just the word lumpfish roe. It just sounds like lumpfish roe. It sounds like, you know, the fish shat itself, which it is, basically, isn't it? But it's not shit. It's eggs.
I think it's eggs. Anyway, I like them. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't assemble. I got caught out on my starter and I just lobbed a packet of, pumpernickel, German rye bread on a plate and a tub of cream cheese. And a pile of smoked salmon and some lemon wedges, and I told people to self-assemble.
Self-assemble?
Yeah, it was a self-assemble.
Did you have any chives on the top or any parsley?
No, I don't like
chives.
I don't know what.
Well, you know, slovenly is a word that's coming to my mind.
Slovenly all the way through. I did do napkins, however, and they weren't even
material or
linen. They were linen napkins. You know, when I used to earn some money, I got carried away in the napery department of the Conran shop, which doesn't really exist as the Conran shop anymore. But they always did these very nice linen napkins, and I would treat myself to one in a bright colour every now and then.
Would
and then
know?
I bingo, I had a collection. Yeah,
very nice, very nice. Did you call it a napier section?
Napery.
It sounds like an aircraft hangar
or somewhere where they keep monkeys.
You made that up.
The napery department.
Well, I don't think that's right.
Well, you're going to have to Google it, Judith, because I can't be asked. I'll tell you that now.
But I know that you were having trouble finding was it a turkey crown you were after?
Oh,
because you were in a bit of a state about that. It's got text.
Do you remember? On Christmas Eve, I happened to glance in the fridge and I saw one of the. There were chicken crowns, Judith. I can't be fucked with turkey. I know you did goose. You did goose, didn't you?
Cheap frozen Aldi goose. Very good. Yeah. Just like a large duck, really.
But duck is a dark meat.
I like a dark meat.
No, I like a light meat. Anyway, I looked, I glanced in my fridge. I don't know whether we did this on the last podcast. It was a long time ago. Forgive me if I'm on repeat. And I glanced at my chicken crown. There were two of them in there. And one of them, the use-by date, was the 21st of December.
Oh, my God, you're joking.
No, Judith, I'm not joking. And I thought, do I risk it? 21st to the 25th.
Oh,
I could give it a sniff. But if Phoebe knew, she'd automatically throw up. Yeah. You know, she's very suggestible.
Yeah.
So I thought, do I take it back to Marks? Marks didn't do that. To Sainsbury's, because I'd bought it on the 22nd, right?
Yeah.
So it was out of date on the day.
Oh my God! Of course you take it back. Don't tell me you didn't take it back.
I didn't have the energy, Judith. I didn't. I went out on the search for you.
I'd have put some full steam behind that.
Well, I'm going back today to Sainsbury's because I bought a bottle of Yellowtail Chardonnay, and it's got a dodgy screw top. It won't open. Well, can you imagine the frustration last night? Can you imagine? I thought it might be my last bottle as well. I was getting a bit frantic. And I was just saying, what else can I drink? Well, I need to drink now.
I think you've got a trying, but possibly very satisfying hour or two at customer services ahead of you.
I might have to stand in a queue, and by the time I get to the front, my dander will be right
up. Of course it will.
You want a bit of a queue.
My man.
Excuse me. Now look here. Imagine. Do you remember that grumpy thing we used to do? It was Dilly used to do it in the first Grumpy Live show, and it was called Get Me the Manager. And I she do. It's about a middle-aged woman having a massive tantrum in a supermarket. And then the manager undermining her tantrum by apologising. And once they apologise, you've got nowhere to go. You've got nowhere to go. Anyway, what was your food sensation, would you say, over the...
Well, homemade by me, actually, a few weeks before. Very nice stuffing. I do like a good stuffing. And I put, yes. Sorry, that's
mine just came rude. in the breasts, in the crown.
Oh, it was just, oh my God! You're such a lightweight. I don't know why we get on. Perhaps we don't. Perhaps we're not going to anymore. Oh no, mine was hefty, great big. You know, oh, a dollop, lots of sausage meat. Oh, a dollop, but much more than a dollop. And
pigs and blankets.
I put some chestnuts in and some
cranberries.
Oh my goodness,
you really made an effort here.
Yes, yeah, but my food sensation was, my mouth already starting to water, the truffle cheese, which the girls bought from M&S, I think. It was like a cheddar, but it had truffles going through it.
No, I like a smoked cheese. I like a smoked cheese and I like a smoked cheddar. I'm not, in fact, sure whether it is a smoked cheddar, but I like a smoked hard cheese. But I don't think you should muck around with cheddar too
well,
much.
Well, if you haven't tasted it, Jenny, I'm sorry.
I don't like truffle, though, Judith. You know what I'm
like? If you don't like
truffles, I like, you know, I'm very interested in mushrooms. And I've got quite a lot of mushroom books for Christmas.
Did you?
Yeah, because I developed my mushroom, my mushroom infatuation about 6 weeks before Christmas, so everyone jumped on that bandwagon.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to end there, do you? I mean, I'm afraid you're now destined
Now the mushroom woman, like, you know, some women get China owls or stuffed
or
cats
frogs,
and all that.
Frogs and all that.
No, you
themes.
Don't want frogs. Jesus,
no,
God in
people,
heaven.
Yeah.
No. Did the twins eat?
No, they were hopeless. All they had is some bloody Weetabix. Oh, they're hopeless at the moment.
Well, do you know... breaking news, and we aren't going to bang on too much about the brats, though. I've had a lot of childcare this week, Judith. I don't know about you, but I've done 4 days and I've got a fifth.
Bloody hell.
I know. We've had an overnighter last night as well. Night terror, yeah, because Jeff let him watch a stupid cartoon. I say Jeff, I was in the same room. But the big news, just to get it out, over and done with, because, you know, I think people have started to worry on our behalf. Arlo is walking.
Hurrah!
He's upright. It's very strange. It is very strange that a baby who's been on its hands and knees for so long is suddenly upright.
Yeah.
It's peculiar. But after waiting so long, and then over the course of a week, how his confidence just grew. And he's like, you know, he started staggering. And then at the end of the week, he's kind of strolling with his hands in his pockets, whistling.
Wow.
It's not
really whistling. Wow. Well, the great thing is you don't have to worry about the kitchen floor being so clean.
I've never worried about the kitchen floor. You know, when you put that in our notes and you said, you don't have to clean the kitchen floor every day.
You don't anyway.
I've never even thought about it. There we go. Did you get some nice gifts? And did you wear your fishnets?
I wore the fishnets. I put the photo on the notice board. They feel odd, don't they? Especially under your feet.
Oh, yes.
They're kind of a little bit wiry, sort of. Well, obviously they are.
I bought you quite cheap fishnets, Judith. They're
not
the finest
gossamer
silk.
I thought they might be.
they are a weird thing to wear. Do you feel sexy in them, though?
A little bit. I mean, less so once I put my wellies on to go out for a walk.
Yeah.
That wasn't a
It's an odd combination, to be quite honest
with
you.
But, you know, I won't say never again. I mean, you know, slightly wet my appetite, actually.
Ooh,
yeah.
She's used the word wet. Now,
stop it.
Best gift. Do you
best
know what
gift. We oh, got, yeah, go on. What's
okay.
yours?
Best well, gift. Phoebe got Jeff and I a night in a hotel in Margate.
Oh, how lovely.
In March. Yeah.
Oh, clever Phoebe.
Yeah. Because I think we deserve it as well.
I really do. Without all the childcare,
you do,
actually.
Yeah. And it's like one of those presents. I thought, I deserve this.
I'm
going to really enjoy it. I'm going to buy a really good bottle of wine and we're going to have a really good meal. And I'm not going to worry about the cost of the meal because the room is paid for. Brilliant.
Good luck with that. Very nice. So has she chosen the hotel?
Yeah.
She's done it. So she just says that's where you go. Oh, very nice. That's very nice that you don't have the bother
don't
of
have to,
that
I don't have to choose
Excellent.
Anything. It's all the thinking has been done for me.
Very good. Very good.
I want to say something else about one of my presents as well. But what was your favourite present?
I had a few disappointments, if I'm honest. Quite a lot of things that I'd kind of bought myself and given might give me. I'm terrible, aren't I?
Yeah, that's taking control to a sort of... because you've only disappointed yourself because you can't really fake any surprise. When you've ordered it online, opened it when it arrived,
yeah,
and then wrapped it up.
I know. It's all, yeah. On the other hand,
you got what you wanted.
I got what I wanted. But do you know what the present that gave that thrilled me the most? Thrilled me. Last Christmas in the crackers, there was one. There's only one present that I quite wanted that came out of the crackers, and it was a teeny weeny little nutmeg grater.
Oh, they sound fancy, yes. Crackers, Judith.
Well, all the rest was crap, you know. But actually, okay. I really wanted it. Somebody else got it in their cracker. I assume
they didn't swap. They didn't swap.
Although I was heavily hinting. Worse than that, I thought that they would forget it when they went home. Do you know what I mean? I thought, no, there's no way they're going to remember that, and they didn't. They took it away, and I wouldn't mind betting it wasn't used all year. That's what you, just a guess.
Do you think that your present, the tiny nutmeg grater, was a recycled Christmas cracker gift?
The one that I received?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, all right.
I put it on my list and I got one. And I've got one.
Oh, something you could tick off your list.
So chuffed.
And something else happened regarding gifts as well. I have a very posh scent. The perfume I wear is called Portrait of a Lady. It turned up, but it wasn't Portrait of a Lady, and it was a really musky scent, right? And I can't do musky. Now, I don't know whether this is a daft thing to say, but I think only really dark-haired people can do musk scents.
Oh, you might be right. The sort of Nigella Lawson,
yeah.
Neck of the woods perfume-wise.
Yeah, around the
possibly.
Neck. Yeah, yeah. Musky around the neck. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can't. I have to have something fresher, more floral, maybe with a touch of citrus, whatever, geranium. I can't do musky, right? So Jeff phoned them up or emailed them, whatever, and voiced his disappointment with the wrong scent turning up. And they didn't even ask for the old scent back, the wrong scent back.
You're joking.
So I've got it's quite a lot, right? And they sent us a new one. But by this time, we were in Wales. So the Royal Mail left a note. God. When I got back in, it said brown bin. Just a Royal Mail note that said brown bin. Well, our brown bin is garden waste. And sometimes I think I might, occasionally I put some, food waste in there that won't go down the incinerator.
Well, anyway. Like we're shocked. Yes.
It's a fucking stinking bin, right?
Oh, no. They put it inside.
They put it inside the stinking bin, which the next day was picked up for collection.
Jenny, no, you're kidding.
I know. I'm just saying. Sometimes you've got to check them out, the Royal Mail. Sometimes they don't think.
So you got it before it went to the tip?
I got it before it went to the tip. Yeah,
You've now got a lovely musky, posh...
Yes. Ooh. I've got it, which I'm going to have to gift to somebody or sell on the eBay.
You are.
It wouldn't suit you, Judith. You're too blonde.
Oh, you're right in there, aren't you? You've headed that one right off at the pass. That in the bud. You can hear me.
I just don't see you as a musk-scented woman. You are. When I think of you,
careful, steady.
I'm thinking Cornish cliff tops,
while swimming. Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
ocean breeze,
ozone. I'm the ozone farmyard aren't I?
Or maybe one of those disgusting lakes that not the one that you swim in, but a sort of slightly infected river. A slightly dank river. That's what you like. Anyway, so you got away to Cornwall.
Yes, well, we went straight to Cornwall.
Boxing Day. Did you go Boxing Day?
No, following day.
Oh.
The traffic was terrible. It was like...
Oh, no, you should have gone on Boxing Day. Boxing Day was fine. We were fine on Boxing Day, I tell you. We got into Wales in record time.
Did you really?
Yes.
Gosh, I suppose no.
We got there in the light.
Oh, did you now, you scabs?
Yeah.
Oh, good blimey. No, we hit all the traffic. But I tell you, the worst thing about it was this, okay? I packed up on Boxing Day night a bag full of all the leftovers that were still good for a few days, right?
Yeah.
Also including the leftover truffle cheese, which had really got my eye on. really carefully packed this bag, okay? Everything, stuff out of our fridge that would mean that we didn't have to go to the fucking supermarket, yeah. You know, for the whole time we're in Cornwall. We got to unpack it, and I said to Mike, where's the, you know, where's that blue bag with all the food in? I thought, you put it in. Neither we. It was sitting. Basically, it was sitting outside our back door.
No. Rotting. Yes. The weather's been awful. Was any of it salvageable by the time you got home?
Well, yeah, we told the neighbours. Neighbours,
take it in. Would you take it in like a dog? Would you take it in?
Basically, we had to go straight to the bleeding supermarket.
Oh, that is so boring.
Oh, I was so pissed off.
You know, in that secret room that you keep locked up.
Yes.
You know, and I know where the key is. You need to have some emergency rations in there.
Just to tide you over.
I think we have. Haven't you got beans and beers?
Yes, a bit of pasta and, you know, but it was, we got there and the co-op had closed and, that was rather dispiriting.
Well, we had quite a difficult time in Wales because it rained and it never got light and it just rained. We managed one beach trip and then, so Phoebe and Tristram and Arlo were meant to be coming, but because, you know, their car's quite elderly and, you know, they didn't think they could manage it all in one go because it's about 7 hours. So they stopped off at Tristram's parents and Arlo was coming down with something on Christmas Day because that's how babies, you know, celebrate Christmas. They come down with something. And he got his second dose of hand, foot and mouth, right? But he got it really dramatically. Hardly any spots until later, but loads of mouth ulcers. Which, you know, makes me panic because I'm a mouth ulcer sufferer. But and they couldn't get a prescription for the Difflam it is for babies with mouth ulcers, and unless he was seen. So they had to go to Gloucester A&E.
Right.
More or less the same time. Actually, I think it was the day before. I can't remember. It's all a blur. Jeff walked out of the house in Wales. And he slipped on some Welsh slate and he just went down and he banged the back of his head.
Oh, God.
And, you know, well, it was just like, it was like a flashback to you. You know, when you did your skipping off stage and went into that metal bar.
Yep.
And you were very dazed and very upset. Jeff was even worse, right? Because he knocked the back of his head and that is... The front of your head is the bumper zone, they call it the bumper zone, because it's actually thicker.
It's thicker, that's right. Yeah, I now know all of this. I didn't know it before. So he hit the back of his head, did he?
Yeah, and he was very, very, very lucky not to have hit the step, because it could have cut into... Anyway, he was very, very confused.
He really
couldn't focus. At one point, he said, I can't see.
Oh, my God, Jenny.
And he couldn't speak. And my brother we just got him in the car, and my brother and my sister.
Yes.
And we just kept him awake to Carmarthen A&E. And I am going to, I'm just going to big up Carmarthen A&E because he was triaged within the hour.
Wow.
And we were in there about four hours, something like that. But he had a CT scan. Right, because back of the head.
Gosh.
And the only thing they gleaned, everything was absolutely fine, but they came back and said, we did notice, and of course your heart drops when you say, we did notice.
Yes.
Your sinuses are very bad.
Oh, right.
They could see how bad his sinuses were.
Really?
Oh, yes.
On the scan. Bloody hell.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with his brain, so that's good. But he'd probably have to have his sinuses drained, but there we go.
But the relief, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because, I mean, you know, obviously it's not always good news, is it?
And no,
there'll be days for both of us when we have to face some bloody difficult things.
Sometimes your luck runs out. We know
this. Absolutely.
That sort of 30 minutes or so in the car driving to Carmarthen A&E, I was frightened.
I bet you were, and I bet he was too.
Bit of your head though that goes into really practical mode, and I'm thinking, well, we'll just have to downsize.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? I don't know whether people always. I mean, maybe that's a bit more of a female thing, but yes, I know that's what my practicality in those times of crisis does. You know, I could feel myself looking at the whole radar, the whole pic. I think I'd be the same. Yeah. Okay, right. So that's what we'll
and
do.
And you know,
we'll
I don't drive on motorways, and you know, Jeff's got the big Range Rover there, and my brother. Right. My brother said, "Well, I can always drive that back." So he was thinking along that lines as well.
He was. So how quickly did he bounce back? Is he all right now?
Well, oh God, yes. I mean, he was fine to drive back. They said, you know, if you've got any, it's still got any symptoms. Yeah. But he just had a really easy day the next day. Well, there's nothing else. So the next day when he was having his easy day, right, and Phoebe and Tristram and Arlo were in Gloucester A&E with the hand, foot and mouth. And the weather was absolutely dreadful. There were weather warnings all over the place. And they were still going to battle and come to Wales. They were still going to come. And then at lunchtime in the valley, we had a power cut.
Oh, God. Right. How awful.
Well, Sarah and my nephew went to the fuse room and you know, had a little fiddle around, and it didn't come back. It was a couple of hours. So one of my nephews phoned the National Grid.
Never.
Yeah, he did. He
could
said
you do was, such a thing?
Yeah, you can. And they answered right.
And good God. Human
being. And he said there was a vulnerable elderly person in the house, right? Meaning Jeff, which I thought, oh, it's their thing. That's a bit fucking cheeky, to be quite honest with you. But they looked, they checked the address and they said, oh, yes, we can see this is registered to a pensioner. That's my sister.
No.
Yes. So even you, Judith, the fittest person I know, will be registered as a pensioner. So you are vulnerable. They come
good
to
God.
You.
God.
Yes.
Good
they
God.
So at about 7 o'clock in the evening, and by this time, the weather's really bad. And I just said to Phoebe, don't. There's a power cut here. We can't cook.
Come,
we
no,
can't.
Absolutely.
There's no heating.
Oh, my God,
you
yes.
know, it's so they backed off again. It was their third attempt of getting to Wales, and
oh,
they just
dear.
Never made it. Okay.
Oh,
so basically, all they did, they spent 3 days packing and unpacking the car and turning back. That's all they did.
Sorry.
I know. God. So anyway, the National Grid people, by this time...
I'm just astonished by this.
They came out, Judith.
What?
They came out.
What?
Apparently two of them. I don't... By this point, it was about 7 o'clock. I was just having a nap because I'd given up. Just thought... I'm just going to stay
hiding.
Warm. Because Jeff was meant to be resting, so I just went to rest with him, just to check on him. And I mean, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming anybody. But apparently, when my sister and a nephew, who will not be named, went to check the fuse room, they'd flicked the switches in the wrong direction. The power was actually...
Joking.
It had come on about an hour and a half after the initial power cut. And the entire afternoon had been spent trying to do the Bronte jigsaw puzzle that Phoebe had bought for me by candlelight.
Candlelight.
Yeah, like Victorians blinding themselves. Honestly. But you know what? Nobody blamed anybody. There was quite a lot of bickering and sort of, you know, tantrums and tensions and things like that. But this, you know, when the shit really hits the fan and there could be really sort of some quite nasty bits of blame and stuff, nobody did. Everyone behaved quite well about that.
Yeah.
It was the petty stuff people were ridiculous
about. And that's often the way, isn't it, really? That is often the way.
So well done, Carmarthen A&E, and well done, the National Grid.
Yeah, you're not kidding. God, very impressed.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How are you feeling, Judith, about food at the moment? Because I can't face another meal yet.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. It's, in fact, funnily enough, at New Year's Eve, we had a few of the sort of fun neighbours around in the swimming lot. And I set up this WhatsApp group for kind of, arrangements. We were going to do a pool, we did a pooled kind of supper thing. Mm. And it was, if you looked at the kind of messages, basically, it's like, well, I'll bring that. And I'll be sitting down, well, we've got too many salads, so I'll bring a pool. Well, no, it's okay. I'll do some chicken. No, well, I've got some chicken, so I'll do that.
Oh my God. Yes. These are all women in their 60s,
yes,
aren't they?
Yeah.
All terrifying.
This traffic, all these messages, at which point somebody actually put on and said, you know what? I really don't give a shit. I'm so sick of food. And then we all said, oh God, me too. Oh God, me too.
Yeah. So I don't want anything roasted for a long time. Now, going back to your New Year's Eve, You actually had a sort of party, Judith.
Well,
and you played party games.
You
put something up on our notice board, aka the Instagram.
Yes.
And it was you in a lovely dress, looking very glamorous, with a Jacob's cracker biscuit
strung around my neck. That's right. Well, I'd organised, because I was in charge, you know, which I like to be honest, as you know. So I asked everybody to come to represent a town in the UK, you know, wear something or have a prop or something like that. The only reason I did it is that I'd come up with this brilliant idea so that I would have the best one, which I undoubtedly did. So, yes, I had a cream cracker around my neck, which,
don't say it quite yet, because there were some guesses on the Instagram, and most people went for cheddar.
Or
is it Leicester, where they have the Jacob's Cream Cracker Factory or something like that? Those were the kind of guesses.
Yes.
But it was genuinely clever. I had to bite my lip with your cleverness when you told me.
Did you?
I felt a rage blaze through me. I thought, oh, the clever bitch. Okay, so, tell the listeners.
Okay,
what
so the thing is, it was, and nobody guessed it, of course, on New Year's Eve. The cracker was basically not eaten.
Yeah.
There was nothing eaten about it, so it was none eaten. Clever, eh?
You will never be able to do that one again, though, Judith.
Well, this is
next
very
year.
True.
All your friends will be going, let's play that game again, and you'll be going, no, I don't think so. I think that we've done. I've peaked.
I really can never.
Beat none eaten. What did other people do? What did Mike go as?
Mike went as, what did he do? Oh, Oasis. He had a CD around his neck of, I think, Oasis.
There's no town called Oasis.
Manchester.
Now, what else has been happening? It was yesterday, was the first anniversary of my mother's death. And I got a few texts very kindly from friends sort of saying, you know, thinking of you today. And I thought, no, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. Thank you very much. It's very sweet of you. But, you know, she was ready to go. She was so ready to go that keeping her alive for another hour would have been a torment.
And, How many years is it, Jenny?
It's just one.
Gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I miss the woman she used to be. She had a very good life until 2020, and that's the memory I want to keep now. I prefer to rub out the last 2.5
including COVID, including all
that. Yeah, yeah, which is really what pushed her over the edge, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would have happened. I think it just speeded it up a bit, just probably by about 2 or 3 months, but. Just for people who are going through this, don't feel angry with yourself if you feel a sense of relief when your parents die, because actually, that's how I feel. It was a relief. It was a relief because she was no longer happy.
So, absolutely. And that's such an important thing to say, Jenny. Well done. Yeah, it really is.
Aren't I a nice person? Well, I'm a nice person.
Sometimes.
You know what you and I like? We like to be thought of as nice people. You know, when we say things, there's a bit of our heads going, will people think I'm nice for doing saying that?
I think they know us a bit better than that. But anyway, I'm glad that the later years are sort of fading and the bits that you loved about her and the time that was precious is coming back. And that's fantastic. I mean, you know, it really is. Well done.
Anyway, back to me.
Yeah.
I've been on House of Games all this week.
I know.
I haven't managed to see it. I'm too scared to watch it. I don't know why.
You did very well in it.
Well, I was so poorly the night before the record.
Oh, is that the night then you were sick all night before?
I was sick all night. I was going up on the train to Manchester. And I never have food poisoning or anything like that because I've got a very dirty kitchen floor. So I built up a tolerance and I just don't get those, you know, don't pick up germs like that. But I threw up on the train twice.
Horrible.
You know, really horrible. And then got to this hotel. And I thought, I can't eat. I can't do anything. I threw up on the hour until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And then it sort of settled. And I thought, should I go in? Should I not? And then I thought, well, I'm okay. But I told them, I said, you know, and I wore a mask within the makeup room and all this sort of thing. And I got through the day.
Well, yes. I mean, you wouldn't have known, actually, as if you were at all.
Makeup, you know,
but
very
also,
you were good.
You got a lot of the events that you won, didn't you?
Yesterday. I won one night. And then I don't think I won anymore. I can't remember, to be quite honest with you. I won a Richard Osman onesie.
Yes, Yes, we want to see that.
Well,
yes.
I hate to admit this, but I no longer have it. It was so... Oh, charity shop.
Oh, Jenny.
Well, it was so huge, Judith. I didn't know what to do with it.
Well, I think you could at least have taken a few photos. You know what I mean?
Sorry, but I didn't. Anyway, there we go. Because people are going, oh, in photos. No, I'm sorry. In the bin. No charity shop.
We can't do everything.
No. What we can do now, however, is we can go to Culture Corner.
Should we scamper across like Fanny Craddock? We'll glide across.
Let's hand in hand and skipping. Judith and I, hand in hand, skipping to Culture Corner where
all
the culture is. We managed to watch Saltburn, Judith.
Okay. It's a strange film, isn't it?
Well, I have reservations.
Yes.
And I'm just going to put my two pennyworth in here. And I think that there are other films that are similar that have been made in the past that are superior. Right. What it does do, however, is it proves that the posh house murders are always in vogue.
I know what you mean. And very posh and very gorgeous.
And people think the Oxbridge stuff is over, all the posh house thing is over. It's not over. People love it. People will lap it up in whatever shape or form. I also thought it was really well cast, apart from, and this is awful because I think he's brilliant, but I did not believe that the lead character could seduce every single one of them.
Didn't you? I thought that wasn't a problem for me at all, but it was when it got so very, very dark.
I just thought that a lot of that was sort of just kind of really bad frosting on a really, you know, when fairy cakes go mental and they just put more and more stuff on. I just think that that was trying to shock. There was some sort of grave
necrophilia, wasn't it?
Because he wasn't in the box.
Well, he was in the box. I mean,
well, it was sort of metaphorical necrophilia.
Yes, yeah, but it was pretty graphic and pretty difficult to watch. It's a strange film. I mean, I there were bits of it that I really, really enjoyed, and
yeah,
I
me too.
The sort of eccentric Aristo stuff and.
Though I didn't believe the other character, I didn't 100% believe was the Carey Mulligan character.
That character could have been better, sort of.
Just needed to be a bit more real. Even though I think she's brilliant. I mean, I'm not blaming anybody, but I thought Rich D. Grant and Rosamund Pike were great.
Yeah, very good.
I thought the sister was really good. And I liked Fairley up to, particularly in the Oxford bits. I thought he was really good. And I thought that the lead boy was rather fabulous too. So
yes,
there we go.
Yes, We saw a much more straightforwardly excellent film one day with Anthony Hopkins, you know, the marvellous story of Nicholas Winterton that's just come out, and about this fantastic bloke who saved
all the children.
600, I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's 600 children, kind of, you know, his own initiative and put his own money behind it and got a lot of sort of eventual kind of
did he smuggle them out of Germany? These were Jewish children, isn't
it? Yeah, well, basically he got foster homes. He was well to do, and he was well, you know, he had a lot of
connections.
Sort of influential, yes, he did, and that helped. So he basically kind of cut through some of the paperwork and got some of the big Whitehall bigwigs to make some decisions much more quickly than they would have done. So he did it legitimately to begin with, and found foster homes for all these children, which was, you know, must have been very, very difficult, and got them escorted on the trains, and obviously left their families that they didn't see again, most of them. Mm. But then eventually, when things became much more difficult in Prague, he basically started to forge the, you know, some of the paperwork.
Papers.
in Germany, just to speed things up. And
which platform is this film on?
It's not. It's you have to go to cinema.
Cinema.
Yeah, cinema. Anthony Hopkins is brilliant.
I mean, I'm really sorry, but I think that you have won Christmas New Year because you hosted a New Year party. You went to Cornwall.
Yes.
You've seen a film in the cinema. That's and you've cleaned your kitchen floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I get some house points, don't I? There, but I get the most house points for none eaten. Let's be honest. You know what I mean.
But I am very much trailing behind, I have to say. You know
what you've been watching on telly?
Now then, what?
It's been tricky, hasn't it?
Shall I tell you what the biggest letdown was? And I hope this isn't going to upset anybody listening, but the Christmas Agatha Christie, you know, it was meant to be the, you know, one of the high spots of Wales. Let's all watch the Christmas Agatha Christie. Well, it was utter bullshit. It was badly directed. It was silly at times. Promising start, but as soon as Penelope Wilton got knocked over, that was it. It went downhill.
Well, let's face it, she got knocked over really early on.
Yeah.
She?
But she had the gravitas, and she had the sort of atmosphere of an Agatha Christie. And when she'd gone, nobody had got that Agatha Christie quality.
But is that to do with the plot or to do with the way it was presented? And so it was beautifully cast. Let's face it, the guy, the main character, he was fantastic. I don't know what he'd call that actor. Brilliant.
Yeah, we liked it. I really liked him. I didn't understand the casting of the lead actress. I really didn't, because she just didn't change her face. And I'm sorry if she is your daughter, cousin, niece, but I just thought she was really just not period enough. I don't know. It was too light. I think that what they tried to do very much was do a big contrast to the previous Sarah Phelpsy Agatha Christie's, which were very dark and very foreboding. But I think in the end, this just seemed like a rather second-rate Midsummer Murders.
Yes, it felt, actually, I tell you what, it felt a little bit is going through the motions, didn't it?
Yeah, it was too light. It was too dapple sunlight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And anyway, there we go. How many times have you seen Mog's Christmas, Judith?
Oh, isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. I think my Christmas highlight is Sophie Ellis-Bextor singing that song.
The song at the end, We All Want to Belong, or something like that, isn't it?
Yes, the Belong song.
I know, it's the Belong song. Beautiful.
I read in the paper that maybe this is the sort of new Walking in the Air.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's beautiful when I sing, isn't it? We're walking in the air.
Yeah, stop. Okay. We enjoyed two things, but I mean, they weren't exactly sort of groundbreaking. A very nice tribute to Barry Humphries called The Last Laugh on ITV, scampering through a lot of his, you know, fantastic
Were you
clips.
On that? Somebody got in touch with us to say they thought they'd seen you.
No, I mean, I wasn't interviewed on it, but...
Were you in the background in one of the...
Oh, well, I might have been.
A clipboard hovering.
Oh, no, I don't think that was me. I didn't recognise myself.
Well, you were much younger, Judith.
Stop it.
And I've yet to catch up with the other one you saw, which is the Caroline Hearn.
Yes, yeah, which is I can't remember. I mean, it's probably a year since she's died, is it? Or is it? It must be
more.
Oh,
it's so long since she died.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's so long.
It must be an anniversary, and I sort of missed why. But Craig Cash, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was, was so, so close to her and so lovely about her. And lots of people, including Steve Coogan, saying what a comedy genius she was.
So brilliant and yet so troubled and so, oh God, she was talented. She was funny to the bone. It was almost like a tick, her comedy. It was like she couldn't help it. It was without thought some of the time. It just came out.
Yes, yeah, and I know what you mean. I tell you what I'd forgotten is that the Mrs. Merton audiences were so wonderful. Yeah. I mean, they were full of her sort of, you know, her parents' mates and her neighbours and so on. But they were so real and so genuine. I'd kind of forgotten that.
It's a terrible loss. It really is. She was... I did work with her a few times, and I thought she was wonderful. I really do, and I was very fond of her. And I think
you'd enjoy.
The end
you'd
was terribly sad. Yeah, I will. I think it's going to make me cry. So where are we going next?
A nice bit of radio and a very, very good podcast, which I've been very, very into. First thing is the Radio 4 pick of the year. You know, you could imagine. I think it must have been an hour or something. And then I don't know how I got into this. I've been listening to Chris Atkins, who is a filmmaker who was convicted of tax fraud in 2016 and served 2.5 years in Wandsworth. And he's got this podcast /2 books, in fact, called he diaried his time in Wandsworth, and the book is
called, you've got fuck all else to do. In which case you can make some cushions.
Yes. So A Bit of a Stretch is the first book, and then Time After Time is the second book. But anyway, the point is that on the podcast, he interviews some of the mates that he met inside.
Oh, that's interesting.
And some that keep going in and out and everything as well. And they talk about, you know, there's a whole episode about the wardens, there's a whole episode about the food, there's a whole episode about just like the bonkers stuff that goes on. But there's some amazing, really, you know, astonishing characters. Like there's a guy who had a non-identical twin, right? Right.
Yeah.
This is obviously a true story. Who went in and then he sent a message to his brother to say, look, get yourself drunk and disorderly and arrested.
Yeah.
And he went up and get inside and I'll explain why when you get in. Right. So he did that. And his brother, who kind of knew the system, I think they'd been out of prison, said to the judge, apparently, look, I really need a custodial sentence because I really want to come off the booze. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I get a couple of weeks inside, right? He's got himself inside the right prison, the same prison as his twin. I mean, you know where this is going, don't you?
They swapped.
Yes. So they got into the same cell. I don't know how they did that. They wangled that. And the guy who's the brother who'd only done, you know, drunken disorderly, they arranged for him to be asleep when the warden came in to release him, right? So he came in, he said, right, name, surname, blah, 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 blah. And the one that was in for many years got up, walked out.
And how long was he out for?
He was out for, I think, a little while. I mean, obviously, then back in. But his brother didn't.
This sounds right up my strata.
Oh, it's so good. And what's more, the twin that was asleep at the time, the sort of relatively innocent one, didn't get convicted of anything because he was asleep at the time. So it was his brother's fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So clever. So clever.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that does sound really good, actually. And let's just repeat the title of that again. It is called...
A Bit of a Stretch. Chris Atkins. There's lots of them.
We're going into books. I'm still reading one of your recommendations, which is the John Boyne's The Heart's Invisible Furies, and I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
I've had to do some sharing with Jeff, though, because we've been on the holiday and all that kind of thing. And we're doing the Miss Marples, the Agatha Christie Miss Marples. And I do not know why they did that Christmas one when there are much better books to adapt. I would recommend... The one at the moment that we are reading, the 450 from Paddington, would make a great Christmas special. I'm putting it down there and I'm offering my services. I'm not sure whether I'm offering my services as a writer or a lead actress. I think I'm a little bit young still for Marple. Okay, and just a quick mention for a treat if you're a South Londoner. Just before Christmas, we had a little family trip to the Horniman Museum, which I think has won an award for best museum at some point quite recently. And it has a butterfly house and an aquarium, and both are fabulous. And they're on the bus route from my house. And they have llamas, sheep and rabbits. Sadly, no pigs.
Oh, no. I know. Was he disappointed?
Well, we didn't promise. Phoebe did take him to the petting zoo at Crystal Palace to see a live pig, but she got there and the pig had died.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Right, so before we go to emails, we have to just plug for our gig on the 3rd of March. There are a few tickets left, but they're rare, aren't they, Judith?
Yes, there aren't that many, and we do need them to sell out, don't we, if we're going to do some more.
It would be nice. It would be very nice, and we'd love to see you.
3rd of March. Yes. And I just want to do another quick plug, I'm afraid. Well, just to say that Cornwall is kind of has got loads of gaps next year, and we're doing lots of
deals
for people who are coming back, and also for the gang. So yeah, it's Sleep Six. It's got a gorgeous view. It's very comfortable. It's not luxurious.
It's very, very comfortable. Very comfortable indeed. And the view is to die for. It's just, you know, even if the weather's shit, you can just look at the sea.
Yeah, that's right. So cornishhideaway.co.uk.
Let's have a quick roundup of emails. Apologies as well. The last podcast we did, I think, ended quite abruptly, didn't it, Judith? Because we had a massive technical hitch.
We certainly did. And we had lined up some wonderful examples of people's uses of panty liners, hadn't we?
Yes, yes, we had.
Including, and I'm terribly sad we never actually got to this, but it doesn't feel, you know, it's Christmassy now, isn't it? But did you see that amazing one by Ellery, 63 and 4 months, and she'd made a snowman out of a sanitary towel, basically.
She's gifted in that
very
direction. This is a nice email. Good morning to you both. Happy New Year. Do you listen to The Dish? No, we don't really listen to other people's podcasts. No, we do. It's a wonderful podcast hosted by Angela Hartnett and Nick Grimshaw. And they had a guest on this week, Saoirse Monica Jackson, who mentioned her mother lives in Spain and runs a coleslaw community along with other like-minded women.
Well, we need to know more about this coleslaw community, do we not?
We wonder if they're global. We wonder if we can pitch a programme to the BBC where we visit the coleslaw communities
around the world.
Absolutely. And we taste different flavoured coleslaws from different...
Yeah. Like Stanley Tucci does with all that lovely Italian food. We could go around with a bit of Tupperware, couldn't we? It's got legs, that has. It's got legs. Oh, we've had some lovely emails over Christmas, haven't we? Basically saying thank you for, I don't know, just, you know, the laughs
being,
that we
people are being
people
really, really kind and
really,
nice.
Really sweet. Thank you so much.
Yes, and we will look forward to entertaining you for another year. Very sorry, that sounds like a threat now, doesn't it?
Does a bit.
But we're not going anywhere. We will be continuing with this podcast, whether you like it or not.
Indeed.
Oh, just a last email, just in case anybody has any great ideas. This is Michelle, 59 and 6 months. She's turning 60 in June 2024, and she's dreading it. Well, there's no choice, really. You're doing it anyway. So any tips from yourselves or fellow owls on the podcast would be good. So that's
ideas,
for Michelle,
please.
If you've got any great ideas.
For her 60th birthday. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, come on,
and
gang.
Happy birthday in advance, Michelle. You'll have a great time, whatever you do.
olderwiderpod@gmail.com. That's
our email address, and we do like to hear from you, so do get in touch. And we often write back.
Right, well, look, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes. To you
and
too,
yes,
and to and Daisy will be back with us this time next week. We have had Sarah helping us out; she's been very good. So we'll catch up with Daisy next week. Thank you, Sarah, for your help this week.
Yep.
And everybody, stay safe and look after yourselves.
Okay, lots of love.
Lots of love.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.